Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin, back for the second hour of this program. I am chatting right now with a lady who was on the show once before. Very, very interesting. Amber Dakar. Amber is involved with Weiss Research. She is a product manager down there. She recently wrote what I think is a very, very interesting missive on credit card changes looming for 2010. I thought this was a very appropriate topic because I think that one of the reasons that our economy is in such bad shape is because the huge level of personal debt. Amber, am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts at all, Al. You're right on the money, actually.
Yeah. Well, what do consumers, borrowers, et cetera, what do we have to look forward to in 2010 in terms of changes?
Sure. Well, beginning February 22nd, in a few weeks, actually, the Credit Card Act of 2009 will go into effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of the changes that will be introduced in this new act actually offer some protections for consumers.
Yes, they do.
But the problem is these protections come at a cost to the credit card industry as much as up to $50 billion in lost revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to make up for the lost revenue, the credit card issuers are counteracting with their own tactics to recoup some of their losses.
Okay.
So what we can look forward to as far as the positives in this act, anytime the credit card company has to make any changes whatsoever to your account, be it increase interest rates or change your fees, annual fees, cash advances, etc., they will have to give you a 45-day notice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if you notice, you'll be getting, I notice, you get more and more correspondence from the card companies lately with all this new rules and regulations. So you get 45 days notice on that.
Right.
Any interest rates will only be on your new charges that are made, while the old rate will apply to your existing balance.
Okay.
So if you make a new charge, just be prepared to pay upwards of whatever the new rate is for you, 20-something percent in most cases for most people. Now, as far as delivery of your credit card bill, it will be at least 21 days before your payment due date. So you'll get a little more time to make your payments.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little space there. And they will only impose interest charges on balances in the current billing cycle. So they have eliminated double cycle billing.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, but there's more than this, but they're going to protect consumers, young consumers under the age of 21 by making them show they are able to make payments or at least have a cosigner available in order to open any types of new credit.
Mm-hmm. Now, the problem, as you bring out in your writing, is that these changes are going to cost basically the banking industry as much as $50 million in lost revenue. They're going to have to make up for that somewhere. How are they going to do it?
Sure. Well, we're seeing it right now. They're going to begin hiking our APRs, annual percentage rates. They're going to go higher and higher. Actually, we're going to see also cuts in our credit limits. You may have a credit limit of $25,000. You may see it cut to $20,000 or $15,000, which will have a direct effect on your FICO score.
Yeah.
Also, we'll see changes in our rates. Maybe you have a fixed rate card now, and it could be changed if they need to do this to a variable rate linked to some type of index.
Yeah.
And
I think that there are good points and bad points to what's going on here, and you know, I think the credit card industry, to a large extent, is at fault for some of the problems we have. I think there really was some predatory lending going on over there. I mean, one example that I love to use on this show is that 2 years after my mother passed away, her official address was our family home, you know, and she, 2 years after she passed away, she got a credit card in the mail, you know, with a,
no.
Oh, yeah, with a $20,000 limit or something like that. I mean, it was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. I just I just kind of looked at that and I thought, wow, this is really something. Hey, Amber, I want you to do me a favor. I want to switch the subject here a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about President Obama's speech last night. And what I want to ask you is, let me begin while you're kind of gathering your thoughts on that by saying, a lot of the guests on our program are very, very critical of the president and the direction that our country is going right now. I too am critical, but you know, one thing that I've learned in my advanced years is you always have to listen to both sides of the story. I mean, there's absolutely no question about that because there's truth really on both sides. Now, you are a relatively young professional woman and you're very, very bright. You watched the speech last night. What did you think? Is number one, give me your overall impression, would you?
Overall, I felt that it was his type of speech, which is very hopeful.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, well, maybe there can be some changes made. But in reality, the numbers speak for themselves. We are in a turmoil as far as deficit spending is concerned. And in order to really try and recoup what has been spent over not just, it hasn't even happened really in Obama's administration. It was much prior to that.
Yeah.
It's going to take a very stringent tightening of our belts in order to get back in line to where we need to be. So I'm hopeful, but for in the time being, in the long, not even, I'm thinking near term, even mid-long term,
yeah,
we are in a pickle, which is going to be quite difficult for us to see our way out of. So all I know is as an individual consumer in this country that many of us can do is just maintain working and try and save for ourselves because in my opinion, we're on our own, especially where retirement is concerned. Who knows in my case if Social Security will even be around. I'm not banking on it. So I have to make inroads to supplement my own retirement.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation, but that's how it is. And in a way, Obama has inherited this. For decades before.
Well, you know, as we were talking off the air, this is the economic situation the United States is in right now is something that I maintain. It didn't start with Bush, and it didn't start with President Clinton, and it didn't start with the former President Bush, or I'm sorry, the Bush Senior. It started a long, long time ago. And the only problem that I have is, I agree with the president wholeheartedly when he said, we don't need this political divisiveness anymore. We need to work together. Well, I agree with that 1,000%. Unfortunately, our country has gotten so polarized between the right and the left, I question whether or not that's even possible today. What do you think?
Well, polls just recently came out, I think last week, that did show that Obama, unfortunately, is a very polarizing president.
Yes, he is.
A huge gap, bigger than Bill Clinton. So and as far as that is concerned, the only way he could possibly try and bring the country together is to become more centrist in his way of thinking and try to bring together both sides of the party to come together to make a difference for the American people. Because at the end of the day, it's the American people that count. It's us who will be the power to bring this country forward. And if we can't come to any type of agreement, how can we move forward at all? We're going to be stagnant and not progress.
You know, I have to tell you, it's very, very refreshing to hear those comments from, as I said, a very bright young professional woman. You know, and I have to say that in spite of all the gloom and doom that we're hearing, in spite of a lot of the gloom and doom that we talk about on this show, you know, I maintain that the American people are incredibly resilient. They're incredibly bright. You know, and Amber, I have to tell you, you exemplify, you basically do, you add credence to my feelings. And I have to tell you, that makes me feel very, very comfortable. We need to get you on the show more often in the future. Let's stay in contact. I really appreciate you taking some time this week, Amber. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Al, anytime.
Thank you. Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you like vitamins, say, ILikeVitamins.com. Vitamin lovers, it's your choice. Take pills and capsules with only about a 10 to 20% absorption rate, or take 10-in-1 liquid vitamin and mineral supplement at up to a 98% absorption rate. Yes, 10 formulas in one bottle. 10-in-1 liquid supplement is in your system in as little as 3 minutes. Just shake it and take it. Go to ILikeVitamins.com now and see our amazing video. 10-in-1 is a multivitamin and mineral formula that supports vision, enhances immunity, reduces stress, helps your heart, memory and mood, energy, digestion, bones and joints, and has super antioxidant age-defying nutrients. All of that and saves money too. 10-in-1 great-tasting liquid supplement is equal to taking up to 5 different products and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to ilikevitamins.com. That's ilikevitamins.com. Or call 256-444-8000. 256-444-8000. 10-in-1, the world's greatest liquid vitamin and mineral supplement. Distributors wanted. Details at ilikevitamins.com.
Hi, neighbor. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Certainly we'd never intend to procrastinate getting our own food supply until there was none left at any price. We would intend to have plenty of food so the relief organizations could care for those unable to care for themselves. We would intend not to be standing in the bread line with the ignorant and the foolish who pretend the facts of food disappearance are untrue. If the experience of the Katrina disaster is evidence, the bread line may have no bread. Just like the good intentions on the road to that unheavenly place, the good intentions alone to get a supply of food will not feed us. Only getting our food supply immediately will make us independent and fearless for the future. Call 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Who am I? Someone who cares.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. You know, I have to say once more, Amber Dekar is a very, very interesting woman. Very, very bright. As we mentioned, she works for Weiss Research. Her comments about the president and the president's speech were very, very interesting. I think she made some valid points in terms of his attempting to reach out to both sides of the aisle, so to speak. But what was interesting is, given this woman's age, intellect, etc., she wasn't, you know, you would think that she would be 1,000% behind the president and would have dramatically applauded the State of the Union address, but she really didn't. She really had some reservations, and I thought that was really interesting. I'm chatting right now with Peter Grandich. Peter is he is the chief commentator for Aguracom. Peter's been involved in the financial community for a long, long time. He's a frequent guest on our program, and I wanted to get his views on some of the president's comments regarding Homeland Security. Peter, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me out.
I was not very impressed, Peter, when, in spite of the fact that President Obama said, we have to do what it takes to defend our nation, and that's a quote, I wasn't very impressed with that because I saw some real contradicting actions of his along those lines. As an example, The government right now, and this I think will change very, very shortly, but the government right now is talking about putting folks like the Christmas Day bomber, putting them through our justice system using civil courts as opposed to military courts. I think that's a huge mistake. What do you think?
Well, I concur with it. I know it was terroristic. I know, you know, that there's been a war declared on America. We don't even know 90% of the things that almost happened but were stopped, and mm-hmm. sooner or later we can't stop them all. So yeah, I consider it a war. I mean, Obama's speech, in fairness to him, he's not the first president that promised a chicken in every pot. That's how I viewed the speech. You know, he talked both sides out of his mouth. On one hand, he talked about how he's going to conserve and cut down on the budget, and the other part he was talking about spending an unbelievable amount of money. And, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. But I think what was important, and I believe you mentioned it before we began this interview, was the faces of some of the people who would be directly impacted on some of the topics he talked about, and in this case, the generals and all that were sitting in when he got around to speaking about, you know, pulling out of Afghanistan and Iraq.
Mm-hmm. He was talking. The first comment he made had to do with the 2011 withdrawal from Afghanistan, and it was interesting because the network that I watched the speech on immediately went to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I believe it is, the generals, etc., and boy, there were some very, very sour looks on their faces. You know, a subject, when you talk about Homeland Security, a subject that you are very, very passionate about has to do with the first responders, specifically first responders in New York on September of 2011, you know, and it's we've talked many, many times on the show how the federal government has really, really kind of left a lot of those people in the lurch. It would be interesting to know how the military folks, specifically the Joint Chiefs of Staff, how did they feel about those guys? I would have to guess that they are very, very sympathetic. I mean, these are people like John Feal, for example, that's F-E-A-L, of the Feel Good Foundation, who was a first responder. I mean, these are people who are true American heroes, and our government, really, to the best of my knowledge, hasn't done anything for those people.
Well, to me, quite frankly, it's the single biggest tragedy in America's history. We saw people were encouraged and asked directly and indirectly by the government to help. They immediately responded, mm-hmm. about 40,000 or so. It was clear and evident that there were safety hazards, to say the least, but yet the government said it was safe. And then when it was recognized that people were getting sick and all, there were promises that they would be helped. And here we are, you know, almost 9 years later it's going to be, and that help is still not coming. In fact, two nights ago, we were shocked and appalled when the New York-based congressional and Senate group met with the Secretary of Health, who noted that the Obama administration was not going to support going forward with a bill that's been promised for years to be passed to finally give these men and women the most deserving health support. And here's the problem. By doing this, I'm concerned, very concerned, that if and when, and I think it's more when than if, there's another major incident in America, knowing what's happened to the 9/11 responders and how they were mistreated and mishandled, Are people, Americans, going to rally around the same way they did on 9/11?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you something. If I was asked to, Al, the answer is no.
I'm curious. Well, you obviously say that because of your intimate knowledge of what happened to the first responders. I did not know that the president refused to support that bill. Elaborate a little bit for me, would you?
Yeah, it's on our blog. People can do a Google search. Two nights ago, just before the actual State of the Union, the New York delegation, Congress and Senate, met with the Secretary of Health and got told that the bill that's currently still in committee, that's being held back by a congressman in New Jersey named Frank Ballone,
mm-hmm.
which we believe has enough votes to be passed, which would finally grant the $11 billion to assure these people of getting health care for years to come, has been held up, and was asked why, and was shocked to be told that President Obama and the administration was not supporting that bill. And there was so much flack and so much media that late last night the White House announced that the small $150 million funding that's currently done, that they're going to double it to $300 million, which sounds good, except for the fact that they've now passed on the $11 billion, which is really needed to be taken care of. And John Field says something very good and quite frankly gets me angry. We found cash for clunkers. We found trillions of dollars to bail out corporations and all, but we can't find $11 billion to help 40,000 men and women who did the right thing and went the American way to help others on 9/11. I mean, that's the insanity of this problem.
That's really interesting. You know, I am. We're going to record a weekend special with Peter and John Feel. I think that is something that we really, really need to put out and make the American public aware of that, because it is to not support these people who responded, who saved lives. To not support those people who have since become sick, in some cases deathly sick, cancer, et cetera, et cetera. Peter, in my opinion, that is absolutely immoral, and I find it interesting that, number one, our administration refused to support it, and then, number two, when their refusal was outlined in the press, then they turned around and said, oh, by the way, we're going to do it. Check out that weekend special. You're going to learn more about it. Big Al's going to be right back with Ralph Fitch.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know, because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Is your computer running slowly? Thinking about buying a new one? Don't waste your money. Your computer could be infected with spyware, malware, viruses, registry errors, spam, and pop-ups. You don't need to buy a new computer. Just go to DoubleMySpeed.com and find out what's slowing your computer down.
DoubleMySpeed totally cleaned up my system and increased my speed.
DoubleMySpeed.com increased the speed of my computer from the very first day.
My computer was on its last leg. Now it's like new again.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and keep your computer running fast. Your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com is easy and fast.
It's the best you could ask for. Outstanding, and my computer is running faster than ever.
Find out what is slowing down your computer with a free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com. Don't waste your time with your slow computer. Get your free diagnosis now at DoubleMySpeed.com. That's DoubleMySpeed.com.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, the two-hour version here heard on these Genesis radio stations. Got to admit, Amber Dakar is a very interesting woman. I want to say once more, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, that she is young and she's bright, and it's interesting to get a perspective from someone like her as to what's going on in the country right now, vis-a-vis the current administration. Chatting with another interesting guy right now, Ralph Fitch. Ralph is the president of a company called South American Silver. They have a huge, couple of huge properties down in South America, which we profiled on the internet show last Monday. Ralph is kind of our go-to guy for silver, and the reason I say that is he has been involved in the resource industry for a long, long time, probably 30, 35 years. He was an executive officer with Chevron. He was awarded the Chevron Chairman's Award for a discovery that he made in South America, major, major discovery down there. I've gotten to know Ralph over the years, and when it comes to insights into precious metals, Ralph is really spot on. Mr. Fitch, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
No, it's delightful to be on the show. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the market right now. We've got a downward trend, precious metals. Let's just talk about gold. Gold is down from where it was 30 days ago, as is silver. Is this, you know, the coming collapse of precious metals in your mind, or what do you think's going on?
I think projecting price is always difficult and very sort of tender ground to tread on. But I think the basics for rising prices in precious metals are still in place. I think we're seeing a lot more sort of volatility now, particularly, you know, in the last few months, and maybe a year, actually, folks have focus very much on the sort of relationship between the strengthening dollar and the inverse relationship, the and then the precious metals go lower.
Mm-hmm.
One caution there, Al, is sometimes that is a true correlation, but at other times it isn't. And
yeah.
If you look at that over, say, a month,
mm-hmm.
You can definitely see as the dollar has strengthened this last time that the precious metals have gone down. But if you look at it over a year, something like silver's up significantly more percentage-wise than the change in the sort of the dollar value. So it's not always true, and people need to be very careful that they don't just think if the dollar's strengthening that the story in precious metals is over.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always said, and I've said this on this show many, many times, and that is I really don't think you buy gold or silver because you're looking to make a profit. I think you buy gold or silver as an insurance policy. I really do. Unless you're a very, very sophisticated trader with an awful lot of capital, I think that is, to go out and buy a few ounces of gold or more ounces, obviously, of silver because of the price discrepancy, with the idea that you're going to pick up $5-$10, I think that's really, really dangerous, and I think it's really counterproductive. The real value in my mind, and I've said this over the years, is that you buy these things for insurance. You buy these things, if the currency system in our country happens to collapse or what have you, and you've got silver rounds or you've got some gold, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good position to take. Of course, some folks try and make money in silver and gold, and I think you certainly can.
Certainly can.
The underlying equities that find these metals or produce these metals,
mm-hmm.
like South American silver, obviously.
Sure.
But the interesting thing is, as we look around the world, we know that a lot of money has been printed, put into the systems of various big countries. And I think it's likely that at least one country may get it wrong slightly and go through a fairly significant inflationary event. I think even now, maybe India's starting in that direction. And that's a country that likes gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of reasons that there'll still be a very strong offtake in these metals. And as we go forward, even with a stronger dollar, I suspect we'll still have rising prices.
I think you're right. There are a lot of reasons to account for a stronger dollar. The most common one that I hear from my guests is, where else can people go? I mean, they feel that the U.S. dollar is safer than either the euro or the won or what have you. But I don't know, with political turmoil being what it is around the world, with the economic turmoil that's going on, certainly in the United States and for the most part around the world, I really maintain that the price of those metals is going to continue to increase. And the dollar, I think, disproportionately will probably go in the same direction or an opposite direction, but not to the same extent as you brought out earlier. I have a question for you, and I guess you'd have to answer this question through the auspices of being the president of South American Silver. But you guys have a pretty large project down in Bolivia that obviously we know quite a bit about. And how comfortable are you right now doing business in Bolivia? Is that okay with you?
Yes, it is, actually. And I think the one of the issues, obviously, for someone who invests in our company, South American Silver,
uh-huh.
which is SAC on
yeah.
the Toronto Exchange.
Yeah.
I think in Bolivia, Evo Morales, who is known as a leftist person, also seems to be a fairly pragmatic individual who
uh-huh.
wants to help his people, which I think is a very laudable thing to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows to do that, he has to attract foreign investment.
Sure.
And if you look around, there's Sumitomo has the very large San Cristobal mine there, over 40,000 ton a day operation.
Mm-hmm.
Coeur d'Alene has a mine there.
Yep.
Pan American Silver has a mine there. There's a huge iron ore property going into production too, which an Indian group is putting in $2.3 billion. So there's a lot of companies that have looked at the fiscal environment. Maybe they'd wish it slightly different, but they've decided that it's good enough to make money.
Yeah. Let me ask you one other quick question. I have traveled in South America, and I'm very, very comfortable down there. The one country, however, that I think the jury is still out on, and I've had some listeners ask me about this, Colombia. What do you think about the environment there?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of these, I think when people assess countries, you have to put aside to some degree the sort of politics or political persuasion.
Yeah.
And think more about the type of events that I just described, whether other companies have found that they can make money in those countries and approach it in a more pragmatic way.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you entirely base your thinking on politics, you may come to the wrong conclusion. So probably most countries in South America have the potential for one to make an investment. I mean, obviously Venezuela is maybe a more tricky one, but even in places like that, you know, if you have the right setup, maybe it's possible too. I'm not proposing to make an investment in Venezuela, but I'm just trying to make the point that one needs to go deeper than just look at the sort of newspaper politics.
Yeah, I bring this up because a lot of our listeners are investors in mining stocks, and they have questions about environments, whether you're talking about North America or South America or what have you. And I think that you're one of the best people, since you've worked around the world, to be able to give some constructive advice on that situation. Okay, been chatting with Ralph Fitch, President and Chairman of South American Silver. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have your house payments skyrocketed under an adjustable-rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? You need help from MortgageFraudExaminers.com. To stop the housing crisis, Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages. The trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you get the leverage you need to turn things around. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages are legally deficient. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. It's like CSI for your home loan. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating when faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. Find out how MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you. Visit MortgageFraudExaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen. And so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I have a new guest on right now. His name is Scott Wheeler. Scott is the executive director of the National Republican Trust, PAC. He was recently quoted as saying the president is trying to rehab his image by asking Congress to intervene and help him rein in his habitual spending habits. Before we talk about that comment, Scott, let's talk a little bit about your organization. Tell our listeners about it, would you?
Well, we were the ones who ran the Jeremiah Wright ads before the 2008 presidential election. We spent, we raised and spent $6 or $7 million airing national TV ads to expose what we thought Obama, what was going to be Obama's agenda and his background vis-a-vis Reverend Wright, his approach to the United States and his disposition towards American values. Even in those dark days, we did not realize that he was actually going to be worse. We presumed that he was going to move to the center after being elected to preserve his chances of for re-election. Mm-hmm. Instead, he moved directly to the left, yeah. Further to the left. And we've run national ads calling attention to the deficit spending through our Trust Common Sense campaign. We spent $100,000 in Massachusetts to help elect Scott Brown, and we spent a couple hundred thousand dollars up in New York to get Doug Hoffman elected, the conservative candidate in the New York 23 special election.
I want to go back just for a minute, if we can, to the situation with Reverend Wright. That is, in my opinion, a very interesting issue, to say the least. But I want to go back to that one. I found it amazing. A couple of things that I found to be really amazing. One of them was the relationship with Reverend Wright, who I believe is a dangerous individual, not only for African Americans, but basically for everyone. I believe, and this is only an opinion, but I think that because of the thesis that Michelle Obama wrote when she was, I believe, a PhD candidate, I think that she has a rather meaningful chip on her shoulder, and I think that's dangerous for not only African Americans, but also for the entire nation. I think the fact that our president, who you thought, rightly so, was perhaps going to move a little bit to the center, moving farther to the left, that bothers me because, you know, my pet peeve is I think we're moving towards socialism or worse. Comments?
I agree.
Yeah.
What more can I say? That was our great concern was he was tilting at socialist tendencies during the election, mm-hmm. and our presumption was that he would move more center, but instead he moved further. He is now, I think, somewhere between at least his policies fall into the category of socialism to communism.
You know, I made a comment in the opening segment with Clyde Harrison, and I said that my impression of the State of the Union speech last night, kind of in a nutshell, is even though the majority of us don't agree on many issues, he's still going ahead, forging ahead on trying to push those issues through. And I think he may very well be successful, in spite of the fact that the majority of citizens in the United States are against some of those things. One very good example is his medical plan. I don't recall what the percentage is, but far and away the majority of folks polled feel that the plan is not a good thing. Comment?
Oh, by far and away, and he really tipped his hand to that when he said he'd rather be a very good one-term president than a mediocre two-term president. He tipped his hand that we're going to get his agenda whether we want it or not.
Yeah.
And that was a proclamation that we cannot make the we don't get to determine whether he was very good or a poor president.
Yeah.
But I think we leave that up to the future generations who are saddled with the debt from this radical spending that he's engaged in. That we leave it up to them to determine whether he was a good president or not.
Yeah. Question I have for you, and then I want to get back to your comments that you made recently, but the question I have for you is, he stressed the fact last night that his medical plan is totally deficit neutral. I don't see how he can say that.
The Congressional Budget Office, which provides them the numbers they want, which is largely nonpartisan, but the factors in, the factors are that they compute what information you give them. If you tell them our insurance plan's going to insure everybody, more people for less money and better care, and here's how we're going to do it, then they say, okay, based on what you've given us, it would be deficit neutral. The reality is that nothing they have provided with us so far has given us any indication that they can be trusted to provide rational numbers or figures or ideas, because everything they've done has been to the extreme the other way, and their willingness to say anything and do anything have made them suspect on every aspect of this. And I think we know what happened with the CBO. The CBO was telling him, no, it's not deficit neutral, so they just said, okay, we're going to tell you that we're going to cut $10 trillion out of Medicare. And they say, okay, if you cut $10 trillion out of Medicare, then your health care program is deficit neutral. Well, the reality is you can't do that.
Yeah.
Where are you going to cut it?
Yeah.
You know, something happened on the way to providing better care for more people for less money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're cutting Medicare, are they going to get better care with the cuts? And it's just been complete nonsense. The entire process has been completely nonsensical.
Going on just for a second here with my train of thought about moving in towards socialism, President Obama made a comment last night that I would share, and I think any person would agree with a comment, and the comment is, I'm not going to walk away from those people who need medical care and can't get it. I refuse to walk away from them. Well, I think that any human being in their right mind would not want to walk away from people who need life-saving or, you know, medical care, but to say that we're going to give free medical care to everyone and the government, i.e. the taxpayers, are going to pay for that, I could argue that in a very real sense is rewarding failure, and rewarding failure is not the way to get our country out of the economic doldrums that we're in right now?
Well, look, first of all, you have to address the actual problem. There is no one in this country who cannot get access to health care, medical care, period. That and the Republicans have done a very poor job of standing up and correcting the record. He said to Obama said a week and a half ago that once his medical bill is passed, people will no longer be dropped by their insurance companies when they get sick. Well, that's against the law now. Insurance companies can't do that now. This is a pyramid of deception that he has created, and it's all part of Democrats' plan going back years. They know, using the Hegelian dialect, that you create a crisis by saying there's a crisis. And the, statistically, people have responded to this with an extremely strong preference for their own health insurance. And poll after poll has demonstrated 85% of the people are satisfied with their own health care plan, but think their neighbor is in jeopardy over theirs.
Yeah.
That is because the Democrats have repeated the ridiculous line, there's a health care crisis in this country, and it's a line that is designed to put them in control. It is outrageous, it's dishonest, it's despicable for anyone to make up these kinds of lies, which they have done. And when I heard the president out of his own mouth say, once his health care plan is passed, insurance companies won't be able to drop people once they get sick. Well, that's what a lie that is, because they can't do it now. So if this plan, if I were a Republican senator, I would go out and issue a statement that if we don't pass Barack Obama's health care plan, no one will be dropped from their insurance policy for being sick. Play their game right back at them.
I would
agree. I'm so sick and tired of hearing the lies pour forth from the Democrats on this. That somebody's got to push back.
Okay, there you have it. Scott Wheeler, Executive Director of the National Republican Trust PAC. Scott, want to get you on the show again. You're a very, very interesting guy. Thanks for your time, sir.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm pleased to announce a completely new and exciting way to listen to your favorite GCN Live program on your telephone. Simply by calling 712-338-7200, you'll be hearing your favorite GCN Live programs in seconds. Tune into all of our channels. I have made sure that everyone who wants to hear GCN Live will have the opportunity to do so. Call to listen at 712-338-7200. That's 712-338-7200. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.